Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. I'm Kyle, joined with Adam again, and we're continuing on our podcast series, the championship series, The Journey, where we're fortunate to have a lot of our great coaches in the Lead 'Em Up community. And today, we're very pleased to have a special guest from Indiana, the head coach of Gibson Southern Women's Basketball, Mr. Kyle Brasher. Kyle, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. We're huge fans of Lead 'Em Up, and great. We love any opportunity we can to talk about the impact it has on our program.
Yeah, and you've been a longtime supporter of Lead 'Em Up and have used it in your programs. And this past year was an incredible year for you all. You were the Class 3A state champs in Indiana, correct?
That's correct.
And that was the first state championship in your program's history, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. It was our second time our program's ever made it to state and our first program state championship. We've got a great program going back. Our school started about 50 years ago. We've won sectionals in almost every decade we've been a school, but our program's kind of haven't got a chance to go over that hump for that state title yet. And I was just super proud of our girls and so happy for our program and our alums in general that this is something they could experience as a group. We've got a really prideful community and they love their high school.
Yeah, it sure seems like you guys throughout the year had a tremendous amount of support. It was really evident in some of the work that you were highlighting and some of the features that you put out on social media. You know, as we dig into the journey of the season, that's kind of like go back to the very beginning. Maybe last year's offseason, you built a very successful program. What was your feeling towards this season when we're, let's say, March, April, May of 2023? What was your outlook going into this past year?
So the previous season, we made it to the round, the Elite Eight, we'll call it. So we were 2 games away from the state title, and we brought back our 2 top scorers, probably our 2 top players, if we're being honest. And we felt like we had the 2 building blocks for something pretty special. And it's always kind of been this group, they've kind of been together now 3 going on to 4 years a little bit. And we've won sectionals. That's the first phase of our tournament in Indiana. And then last year we got over that hump, won regionals. And it's like every year we kept adding a little little thing in our ball cap there. And we just kept talking, what do we got to do to get over that next hump to make it to state and try to play for a state title? So we had a great offseason. We do a thing called the 10,000 Shot Club. And our goal is to try to get as many of our girls into that as possible. And last year we set a program record. I think we had 14 total girls, which is, we had 25 girls in the program. So over half did that. And I think where it starts at is our leadership. We had a great senior class and 2 girls named Chloe Graham and Allie Malone. We have a great junior class. Gabby Spink kind of leads that. And Chloe and Gabby kind of set the tone for what the work's going to be in the offseason. They're constantly in the gym. They've been our top 2 shot leaders the last couple off seasons, and I think that has helped. They both came in super hungry this year, and due to their work in the off season over the last 3 years, it's kind of built to this point to where we were ready to go out and win that sectional and keep moving on and go out and win that state title. And in the state title, we set the so we have three, four classes. We set the state record most maids in any game, regardless of class, with 11. And Chloe Graham set the single player record for 3A3s with 6. So, I mean, we just, wow, all that work, and it's not just skills. Skills are important, but all those leadership qualities they demonstrated throughout the year as well.
Kyle, you know, I appreciate you coming on. I think I'd like to skip this episode. Let's just jump right to Chloe Graham. Let's get her on the show.
No kidding.
Man, record breaking. Fantastic. And, you know, I tell you, the success isn't that you had this year is not a one-time thing. It's certainly not in a silo. Obviously last year you all were close. This year you felt like, man, we got to get over the hump. Is there anything you did differently? You said you had a great off season. Was there anything in that off season that you did differently? Maybe you moved things up. Maybe, you know, and as it relates in, hey, normally we start at this month, but this year we're hungry and we were so close. We're going to move it up to this. Did you find yourself changing any rhythms, any new additions, beginning lead them up sooner than you normally did in the past? Like, did anything change as you kind of went through the offseason to help make sure this is going to be a great offseason?
I think the only thing we really emphasized is we knew we had Chloe and Gabby. We knew we were going to get, I mean, there are games where they got in our semi-state first game, I think those two combined for 57 points. So we knew we could go in any game and those two are going to get close to 40. And it's like, well, we got to find 20 more points. If we get to 60, we're going to be in good shape. So we just emphasized trying to figure out where our players' strengths were, where they could get their best shots. And I probably ran more. We weren't a set heavy team, but we ran more sets this year just to try to highlight our players' strengths. And I think by doing that, we have a freshman named Paige now, 6'2", 6'3" center. They got a chance to get her implemented. Then now we're getting Gabby. I haven't been a huge ball screen guy my first 5 years, but this year is like, we got a player like Gabby. We got to get her in space, get her in a ball screen. We did more ball screens with her. We did a lot more flare screens for Chloe. Over the years, when I first started, I was like, nope, we're not going to run any sets. We're just going to run our offense, get stops and go. But I think one thing I've grown in my coaching is just learning out. I've got to do better at finding out what our individual player's strengths are and trying to highlight that as much as possible. So we've had more sets in this year. We had more packages in play to try to highlight our player strengths than ever had before. And I think that really helped us in our entire state run.
You know, and you guys went 26-4 this season. So fantastic season. I mean, did you guys come out of the gate hot?
It's funny you asked that question. We actually, our first game, we did come out of the gate hot in our first game. We scored 24 points in the first quarter. And I was like, dang, we're going to score 100. And I think we scored 20 points over the next three quarters, ended up losing by 13 to a good team in our area. And we talked a lot after that game because we were upset. We were bummed. But one thing I really tried to emphasize to our girls is it's a journey. It's a process. We always want to win that first game. But if you take from where we were in November and you get to where we were end up in late February, they took that to heart. So while that first game wasn't what we wanted it to be, we kept trugging along. And I think every coach, you look at your seasons, you always want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year. And I think we really were, obviously. I mean, I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say. But each month, I think we got better in different things. We had a tough slate in December where we had to play a game on Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. So 4 games in 8 days. And we knew that was going to be a tough slate. And we just tried to challenge our girls as much as possible. And I think it parlayed into we didn't lose a game in 2024. We didn't lose a game in January or February. And we believed in the process. We came in ready to get working every day at practice.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. You know, Kyle, you're a championship level coach and you've built up to this point and you've had success before this year. I'm curious, like, what your thought process was, or maybe what the conversations were like with your coaching staff, because when you have a successful program and you have some players like you have, maybe the tendency is to kind of pull back a little bit on the leadership and character development work that goes on in your program. And some coaches might look like, hey, I got a couple studs. I got a young girl to incorporate. Like, we're good culture wise. Maybe we don't need to do it as much this year. Or maybe we need to pull back from it. You seem to have taken the opposite approach to that. And, you know, coaches want to learn from other championship coaches. What's your philosophy on that? And how do you communicate that to your staff and players?
Well, the first thing I do as we get closer to the season, so this will be late September, early October, is I like to think of the season in four quarters. Think of it like a basketball game. And as the season progresses, I make our practices shorter. I think the grind of a season, playing all those games, we by the end of the year, if we have to have a two-hour practice, then I didn't do something right early on. So we always start out 2 hours, and then by the end of the year, we're going for an hour and 15. With that, there's always two things I emphasize that I put on the schedule, and we're going to make sure we always do, whether it's we're having a great practice or we're having a bad practice. And that's we're going to make sure we're lifting weights. I think that's an important aspect to keep our bodies strong, keep them flexible. And then I always put our lead 'em up sessions on there. I put them on there and I check the calendar. And if it says lead 'em up from 4:45 to 5:10, we're making sure we're getting that done, because I was thinking about getting ready for this today. What are the things I want to talk about? We're not going to have, in our county, we got a girl named Jackie Young. She was the first overall pick by the Las Vegas Aces, WNBA champ, Olympic champ. We're not going to get many Jackie Youngs if we ever get one. We got great players, but what I'm trying to do as both a teacher and a coach is prepare for these young ladies and young people in my classroom, for life beyond high school, beyond sports. I want to give them the leadership characteristics to be successful in their job, to be successful with their family and their other relationships. So we put that lead 'em up on the schedule. And if it's on there in black and white, we're going to do it no matter what's going on. And we're almost to the point now when the girls see lead 'em up, and I don't think it's just them telling me this, they get excited for it. They're anxious, like, hey, what's the exercise going to be? Some of the ones we repeat every year, like my favorite one I always like to do before state tournament time is the toaster. We always do toaster, and the entire state run, I write on the board, are you ready? Let's go. And we emphasize, like, you get one shot at this. And if we don't get ready for that one shot, then it's going to be over. And the different exercise, they like that one. They like the body language runway, and they get excited for them. They have fun with it. But at the end of the day, we always bring it back, talk about what do we learn from this? While we're having fun, what can we take from this and apply to our team, to your softball team, to your volleyball team? Some of them have jobs, to your job, to your future employer. And those are probably some of my favorite conversations we have with them. So that's something I do, is I put the lead 'em up sessions on paper on purpose. And we're going to do it, good or bad, in practice.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. Be crazy and set some wacky ambitions and dreams. Don't worry if your adventure, dreams, ambitions look totally different from others, even more crazy. One crazy one was set by Truett Cathy with his goal of being closed on Sundays, closing on the busiest day of the week in the restaurant business. He then called it his best business decision he ever made. That doesn't even make sense. Irrational. Yet he had purpose behind his adventure. He wanted people to get some guaranteed rest each week. He wanted to glorify God by giving his team time to worship if they chose on this day. He wanted to honor his life principle of a good name over great riches. Have fun thinking outside of the box with purpose. Maybe thinking bigger than even achievable in this lifetime. It may be the best decision you ever make. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
And, you know, I think one thing that it sounds like you've done a great job with, and based on the character of this team this year, we talk a lot, Kyle, about building your farm system, right? Building that pipeline of leadership. And I'd love for you just to speak to that, because when you commit to it at the level you are year after year, and you've been doing lead 'em up for a handful of years, I don't know the exact time, but I know you've been with us for a significant amount of time. So your athletes are used to it. They are familiar with it. They know what to expect. But I say that because your sophomores know what to expect. your juniors know what to expect. And when it is then their time to step out in front, I'd have to imagine, Kyle, that they are just so much more mentally prepared. They are more mature. They are more willing and able to kind of grab a hold of that leadership torch and keep that momentum running versus, you know, maybe a pulling back on leadership development where all of a sudden now you get this lull because you've neglected it for a while where you've got to now pick it back up. I don't get the sense that that's the case in your program. Is that fair?
Yes, that's very fair. I think back to a story I used to, when I was coaching with the boys before I became the girls head coach, I was the JV coach for the boys. And I remember talking to our varsity coach, and I just felt like a weakness of our program was we didn't have any leaders. I thought the best leader in the school was the quarterback of our football team. And we tried to get him to play basketball. He played as a freshman, came back as a senior. And he wasn't the best basketball player for us as a senior, but he brought that leadership quality and kind of rallied the troops. And I think that leadership made an impact on our team, and that stuck with me. And I remember listening to you and Alan, and then when you left and you started the Lead 'Em Up program, or I can't remember how all this shake the time of that, but when you started leading my program, I told my buddy who ended up becoming my JV coach, I said, if I ever get a chance to be head coach, I want to start Lead 'Em Up. Because I just think if you can have leaders in your program, it's going to help. So we've done Lead 'Em Up. We have a captain class that if you want to be a captain in our program, you have to go through this captain class, very similar to what you all do with the Lead 'Em Up exercises, part of that package. And if you want to, it doesn't matter if you want to be a captain on the freshman team, the JV team, or the varsity team, you've got to go through that captain class. And there's readings. We've done readings from Alan Stein. We've done some readings from John Gordon, Pat Summit. We share some videos from people like Gino Auriemma. It's about a 2-week process. And that embeds in our freshmen, like, hey, if I want to be a leader, I got to go through this. I got to come to these classes. I got to listen to coach. So they know as a freshman, and sometimes like we talk about Paige, she wanted to be a captain, but as a freshman, it's very difficult to be a freshman on the varsity, captain of the varsity team. I think this was Gabby's first year, even though Gabby's been one of our two best players her entire year. This is the first time she probably got a chance to be a captain, if I'm thinking correctly. But now she's put in 2 years, now 3 years of leadership training in the classroom, and we still looked at her as a leader, and now she's earned that status as a captain. And I just think developing that, and you can kind of pinpoint, like we got a freshman right now named Emma Foose, who is going to be she's already a big time leader. And when she comes a junior, senior, is going to continue being a big leader for us. I think you hit kind of the nail on the head. Talk about the farm system. Usually think of like, who's my next batch of players, which is good. We also think about who's my next batch of leaders. Yes. We just had a great leader in Allie Malone, and she led, like Chloe Graham was a great leader, but it wasn't with words necessarily. It was with her work ethic. Allie was both work ethic and words. And I mean, you look at what she was able to do. She's the girl who poked the ball out, got the game winning steal for us. So leadership went a long way for our team.
I love that you just kind of called that out, you know, and Allie was Green 13, correct?
She was an honorable mention.
Honorable mention. Yeah. Okay. I knew she was in that space, but I mean, I love what you just talked about. Like every coach, they sit there and they begin to kind of evaluate their roster for the upcoming year. Hey, you know, where's our scoring going to come from next year? You know, where's our rebounding going to come from? Or, you know, who's going to be our outside 3-point shooter next year? And you begin to evaluate as you just kind of identify the scope of the team. You need to be doing the same thing for leadership, right? Like, who's going to be our voice? Who's going to be our energy? Who's going to be our maturity? Who's going to be our authority in certain situations? And I think when you build a special program as you have, it doesn't surprise me that you have a mindset that is both obviously very focused on basketball and X's and O's, identifying the roster, skill set, positioning, things of that. But you're equally as intentional on building the leadership side to make sure you've got the pieces in place there. And no surprise, your program keeps winning year after year, 26-4 last year, case in point. So, all right. So you start off, you lose your first game. And probably a good thing, sounds like, because it kind of humbled you, kept you guys in perspective. Then, I mean, you only lost 4 games regular season. You didn't lose anything January and February. So you guys were rolling. Going into the playoffs, let's talk about that. Are there any changes you made? I mean, I think playoff time is always an interesting thing from a coach's standpoint. You really start getting into your head, and sometimes you can get too much in your head. And it's like, do I keep the same routine? Do we do anything different? What is your general philosophy from regular season into playoffs? Is it just business as usual? Do you make any tweaks and adjustments? Do you find yourself doing anything differently?
I try to keep it as normal as possible. We've got one team in our sectional. I talked to Kyle about this. Their name's Memorial. They're real good year in, year out. So, I mean, we'll watch, obviously, more film on the teams that we know we're going to have to beat. But, like, I think about the state week, my whole objective was to try to keep the week as normal as possible. Now, it's kind of crazy in the circus that comes with everything being in the state championship. But for me, at least, that normal atmosphere, business-like attitude just allowed me to stay in my flow, stay in my habits. And I think if I can kind of keep that even keeled in my routines and my approach, I feel like that's going to kind of transfer over to them. Now it can be difficult at times, but that's my philosophy. Try to keep it as normal as possible. The only thing we really do differently is we really like our, like when we get out of sectionals, we do our regional, semi-state and state. We're lucky to get their practices. I love those. Give you a chance to do some different team bonding. I'm a big believer in fellowship over food. I love eating. My JV coach loves to eat. So we always find good places to eat. On the way home from our regional practice, we found a good old Amish buffet here in good old Southern Indiana that we ate at. So we just try to keep it as normal as possible. Try to keep them in the routines. It can be difficult with more media, more pressure. And I just want to try to reduce that pressure as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about, like the run that you had towards that state championship, was there anything that occurred in that run when you think about it and you go back to maybe earlier in this season or something maybe last year that you experienced where it was like building of the leadership or character, like an obstacle or an adversity that was faced that the girls had to experience that prepared them for this state championship this year?
I think back to the previous season, we lost in the first round of semi-state. The thing I learned, I think the thing especially Chloe and Gabby learned, is I can draw up all the X's and O's. I can have the greatest game plan in the world. At the end of the day, you need your best players to go make plays. In our semi-state game, when Gabby was a sophomore and Chloe was a junior, we went against a girl over from Cordon Central, where we were down all game long. We actually ended up tying the game with about 2 minutes left. And their best player, a senior, just came down and made a heck of a play. And we just couldn't overcome that again. And I think back to this year, and there were times, especially in the semi-state, where things got dicey. You look at what happened in the state finals. We're up by 19 with 4 minutes left in the third, 5 minutes left in the third, and they cut it to three. Players got to make plays. You look at Chloe Graham with the bucket she made in the semi-state. Gabby Spink came down. We're only up, I think, a point when Gabby hit the three to put us up four. At the end of the day, you got to have players make plays. And I think them experiencing that, them seeing that, it made them, they realized like, oh, I just got to go get a play for us, whether it's scoring, whether it's getting a rebound, whether it's getting a steal. And players got to be ready. Like we had a junior this year going down with a knee injury in our sectional championship in Lauren Adamson. And our sixth player off the bench, Nola Ravalette, who is good enough to be a starter, stepped up and started the rest of the season for us. And you just got to have people ready. Got to have depth to the players you got. And players got to be ready to go out and make those plays happen.
Certainly. And one of the things you've talked about and mentioned a couple of times on here, but I think it speaks to what you're doing and what you're building, is not only, you know, at the varsity level, but your lower level programs had quite a bit of success this year too, right?
They did. Our freshman team went 10-0 and our fresh JV team went 20-0. So combined 30-0, you combine that with our varsity team. Our JV coach has been around the program for a long time, so I call him our historian. I said, I don't think you'll find a better win-loss record season for any season in Gibson history going 56-4. So it was a heck of a season
for us.
I can't
think of many anywhere.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. It's like, we've got great players up and down the program. And it's just every year you're going to coach the team differently. So like this year, we're going to lose Chloe and Allie and Gabby and her classmates, Gabby, Hallie Evans, Lydia Maurer, Lauren and Nola are going to step into the senior roles. And now it's our job as coaches. How are we going to coach this team? We lost the program's all time lean score. We lost probably one of the best leaders I've ever seen in Allie Malone and Chloe Graham, all time lean score. How are we going to coach the team? And I kind of view the summer as kind of my lab. What are things that I think we can do? What are things the girls think they can do? And it's our job to go out and all right, didn't see that you could do this. I think you could do this. This is what you got to do to be successful. And that's how I view it. And we just want to be working at it. And when February rolls around for tournament time, that's when we kick it in high gear.
You know, and speaking of tournament time, let's talk about that. So last year you made it to the Elite Eight, got bounced out there. Take us through kind of the Elite Eight and beyond. What did those games look like? The matchups? How did it go? Was it easy? I mean, was it a cakewalk? I mean, were there close battles? Take us through those final games.
I think probably if you look at the scores, probably the most exciting games was our sectional semifinal, our second game in the tournament. We're playing our big rival Memorial, packed house at our gym. We built the big lead. Our tournament run was us build a lead, us give up a lead, us take the lead back. I think it shows the resilience and toughness and attitude of our girls. But we went on a game-winning shot by our freshman, Paige Schnaus. Then you look at the semi-state, first game of Scottsburg. We built another 19-point lead. And in the first game of that semi-state morning, there's a girl on the other team who scored 19 straight points. So it's like, what do we got to do to adjust that we ran no ladder, get the ball out of our hands, and we end up winning that game by 15. No, nothing was easy. Danville, same thing. We built a lead. They cut it down. We end up winning by 12 to 13. When you get to that level, you're not playing bad teams. You're playing great teams. You're playing high caliber players, great coaches. And you just got to have the attitude of we're going to make a run. They're going to make a run. It's almost like a heavyweight boxing match. And it's just who's going to make that last run. And our girls just had the mentality all postseason long that we were going to be the team with the last run.
Where do you play your championship games?
So the sectional is always hosted at a host school who's in the sectional. We've been fortunate. I've been doing this for 6 years, and 3 of the 6 years we've got a chance to host sectionals. And we've won the sectional championship every year at our gym. Regional site's always a neutral site game. Typically, it could theoretically be a home game. But we play that in a local high school, not local, about 45, 50 minute drive from here. Sectionals or semi-state for us was think of a close drive in Jasper. You ever heard of Scott Rowland? He played third base for the Cardinals, Reds.
Yeah, I was going to say, baseball player.
As Kyle probably knows him from his St. Louis days.
Yeah, for sure.
He's from there. So that's a great drive for us. And honestly, they have probably one of the best gyms in the state of Indiana, which if you can build a nice gym in the state of Indiana, you're doing something good because we've got some nice ones. And then we're fortunate. Our state does a great job. Our football state championship were held at Lucas Oil where the Colts play. And both the boys and the girls go to play in Gainbridge Fieldhouse where the Pacers play. And they treat you like royalty. It's like they make you want to feel like you're a high-level Division I professional player with the media they give you, the locker rooms they put you in. It's one of those things you wish everybody could experience that, and you want to go back and experience it again.
Jeez, that's fantastic. And, I mean, Indiana, basketball state, you know? I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. And, you know, Kyle, I mean, you are doing it. I mean, the record amongst the three teams is enough in and of itself. But, I mean, based on all the interactions, and you do such a great job tagging us on social, so we kind of get to see the journey and see all the interaction. And, you know, success leaves clues. It shouldn't be a secret to those on the outside what's making you successful. It's pretty clear, right? You're pouring into all aspects of the players. You're developing them from the moment they step into the program, right? There's a true family feel and love and appreciation for everyone, in turn helping you get the most out of each and every athlete that comes through. And, you know, it just tells me that, you know, there's a character element within the athletes there at Gibson Southern that is just different than where you find other places. And I always remind coaches, that is not by accident. That is typically by intentional developmental effort by the leader in charge, which is you. So Kyle, I just want to celebrate you. You know, this program is a result of the hard work you've been doing, and you've got it in a great place. But Kyle, you're only as good as your next season. So what's it looking like next season, Kyle?
Well, we bring back 5 great seniors. I've talked a lot about Gabby. We bring Gabby back. And Gabby, I can't say enough great things about Gabby. We've got a great relationship off the court. And she's got a chance to have a huge monster senior year for us. Set some things that never happened before. You look at our other seniors, Lauren Adamson comes back, Nola Ravalette comes back, Hallie Evans, Lydia Maurer, five great seniors. And you look all, I mean, we talked about the JV and freshman teams and the success they had. I just think it's going to be a different type of team. This year, we were very perimeter oriented with Gabby and Chloe. Well, with Chloe being gone, I'm fully anticipating a lot of face guards, a lot of boxing ones, double teams on Gabby. So it's going to be on me to look at, hey, what are we going to do to open her up? And it helps that we've got other great players around her still. Talk about those seniors. We got Paige now is coming back, a big freshman, now to be sophomore. What I'm excited to see is, like, who's going to step up in those spots that we need? Between Chloe and Allie, we're losing, I don't know, probably 60 minutes of playing time, 25 to 30 points, our best perimeter defender. Who's going to step up? And that's what, and when I talked to the girls, that's why I was like, they're all your teammates, but at the same time, you're all competing for the same spots. So what are you going to do to separate yourself? And we've really reiterated that is you got, it's a competition and we're going to need girls to step up. But we're probably not going to know that answer in June, July, even October, November, December. But by January, we're going to know who it is. And I fully anticipate it's going to be a fun competition. And they're hungry for it. They're all ready to take up and take a step forward. And it's going to be exciting to see. I see big things coming for us still.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to continue to work with you all this year and get back in front of the girls. I know we've done a couple of virtual sessions this past year to help kick things off. And that's always a great experience with your program. And, you know, as Adam said just a few minutes ago, success leaves clues. And Kyle, you certainly shared a lot of clues with coaches out there on how to build a championship level program, what it takes to get there. And the other part about that is what you've done intentionally for the farm system. You know, when you look at what you have coming up and how you've developed those young players and their ability on the court, but their leadership ability as well, to where, you know, it's not necessarily like you're rebuilding at all. You're in the process of reloading. And yeah, that is exciting to be a part of and for you to experience, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an open book. Anybody that wants to talk to me about lead them up or anything we do. In one of the post game interviews after we won state, I talked about our 10,000 shot club. I had two or three coaches reach out. What is that? Can you give me some information on that? My goal at the end of the day is I just want to see basketball expand I want our state to have the best basketball players in the state or in the country. I want every girl who plays and every boy the chance to be the best version of themselves. And I'm open book. I always like talking to coaches. Sometimes I'm not always the most willing to come up and ask questions because I don't know if any other people are open books as like I am. But that's the thing. I want to share. I talk about things in our weekly newsletter we publicize, and I just want the game of basketball and I want young people to have success. So that's a goal of mine.
Well, we'll make sure to get this episode over to Memorial High School, to the girls' basketball program. Let them get all the notes they want to get from you, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are actually – so Indiana has a success factor, and if you earn enough points, you get bumped up a class. So with us going to semi-state and us winning state this year, we eclipsed the threshold, which was 6 points. So we are actually bumping up a class. So Memorial will just be a regular season opponent now for at least the next 2 years.
Who's that team in this new class? That's
the thing. This next section we're going to, everybody in it is really, really good. One of my best friends in the industry, he coaches a high school called Evansville North. And they're going to be in our sectional. Castle, who I talked about, they're going to be in our sectional. Evansville Wrights. It's about four or five really, really good teams. So it's going to be, we're going to have to bring our A game every night when that tournament rolls around. So that's going to be, it's going to be change my coaching philosophy a little bit when we get to that time, preparing the girls and not only mentally, but physically as well. So that's going to be exciting.
Oh, they're going to make you work for that repeat.
They are. And that, one thing I talked to another guy, his team was a 3A team. And I asked him, and they got bumped up because they went to state back-to-back years. I said, what'd you do? How'd you get your girls ready? He said, in this day and age, it's difficult to make history. And my talk to them was go make history and be the first girls basketball team to win a 4A sectional game, then a 4A championship. So we're going to try to go with that and let's try to get a chance to make some history.
Hey, we'll be cheering for you, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, Kyle, appreciate you so much and all the great things that you're doing. And coaches, be sure to follow Kyle and connect with him. You can look in the show notes for his handles and follow him and reach out if you have any questions. Kyle, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, we just want to celebrate you for all the great things that you're doing to build young people as leaders and athletes. And, you know, you're a champion for Lead 'Em Up. We appreciate you and look forward to continuing this journey with you next year. And on behalf of Adam and the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I'm Kyle. Listeners, have fun and lead 'em up.